I just need to inform all parties that today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time. And I'd like to take a quick roll call. We have Robin Gross and Joy Libicup, Dee Dee Halleck, Bill Drake, and David Cake.
Great. Thank you very much. And thank you all for dialing in today, especially the ones for whom it is still dark or or very early in the morning or very late at night. I realize it's inconvenient for many people at any time. Anyways, let's go through the agenda quickly. First, I thought we would go through some of the issues that the GNSO Council was dealing with on tomorrow's GNSO Council call, particularly the Olympic Committee, Red Cross names, drafting team, a drafting team to establish best practices on abusive registrations, an update on the JAS working group. I was hoping Avery could join and talk with us about that. The GNSO Council is also to vote on a motion to consider the next steps regarding who is, access recommendations. I'm not sure that's a huge issue, but it's on the agenda nonetheless. The outreach task force discussion, we should talk about what we want to do. The fake renewal notices issue, there's public comment on a report on that. How do we want to handle that? GNSO Council is approving or may approve sending a letter to the GAC on Consumer Metrics Working Group. So those are the issues that are before the GNSO Council this week. And so we should have some discussion on. And then there are other sort of more general issues related to the new GTLD program, the next steps for the program, the URS summit that's been proposed. Maybe we could had some more information on that. And we also need to spend some time talking about the upcoming ICANN meeting in Prague and our preparation for that, discussion topics for the board and the NCSG, the NCSG and at large, the public forum, and Steve Crocker, the chairman of the board, is also soliciting suggestions for what the community would like for him to talk about in his opening remarks. So we've got some topics, discussion topics we need to propose for the different Prague sessions. And what else? Is there anything else we want to do in Prague? I'm sure there is, so let's talk about it. And then we should go through, I think, some of the open comments and see if anyone's working on them, if anyone thinks we should be working on them, and then if there's any other business. So that's what we've got on our agenda for today. Did anybody have any questions on this or want to add anything or move anything around?
That is excellent. Thanks, Robin.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Okay, so the first issue is the GAC GNSO issues related to the International Olympic Committee and Red Cross names drafting team. Hopefully folks on council can elaborate a little further on this, but it's my understanding that the GNSO Council is about to approve sending a note to the GAC saying what? I'm not quite sure. So if anyone on the council has a little bit more information on the status of this drafting team or what the council will be, the particular note that the council will be discussing the sending of to the GAC, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, it's Joy here. I have actually sort of stepped back from the detailed workings of the drafting team, but Avery and Mary have continued to be engaged, and from what I can see, drafting team is sort of ploughing on with its work and are currently discussing what might be some proposals for work around the second level protection, which the GAC had predominantly originally asked for. I was just checking whether something had come in overnight, but I can't see a specific note that's been drafted that the council will consider at its meeting tomorrow, but I think the proposal really is to just simply sort of communicate to the GAC that the work's continuing. That's about as much as I can say at this point. I'm not sure that there's a specific proposal on the table, as far as I can tell, for what the actual communication from the Junior Zone Council will be.
If I remember correctly, the framing of that letter was a little bit more endorsing of the drafting team's continuing than we would have preferred. I'm having trouble finding that letter in the council email file. Does anybody remember what day that was sent?
No, I'm just trying to find it myself. We've just been snowed under with work in the last...
Yeah, I know. I've spent 12 hours at the computer doing 800 other things. It's kind of hard to shift.
Yeah. It was right after the last council meeting, maybe the day of or the next day, very shortly thereafter, and that was...
There was a letter that was sent by the IOC to ICANN, and there was the... Yeah, that's a reconsideration request.
When was the council meeting? I'm sorry. What was the date on that sucker?
Let me pull that up.
Oh, hold on, I found it. I think it's about the 11th of May. Apologies.
It was the 10th. 10th
yeah,
of May.
Yeah. Might be your 10th, my 11th.
Yep.
So then... I have not saved the message.
Still lacking something from the master of the drafting team.
The master?
I can just read it quickly. I found the gist of it anyway. From
where was it, Joy? What's the message?
On May 10th, and the subject heading is Council IOC /RC.
18th?
10th, 10.
Oh. Okay. Got it.
So Stefan basically was saying that he suggested that the drafting team instructed to continue its work and that a short message to the GAC to that effect be sent, and that Mary had raised about perhaps it would be better just to say what work's been done to date, and that the GNSO is continuing to consider work at the second level. Leaving open the possibility of how that happened.
Yeah, okay. This is the whole discussion in which Jeff was arguing that the drafting team members would all be so deeply disturbed and depressed if we didn't have the council make a ringing endorsement of their continuing activity that nobody would be able to get out of bed. And so, therefore, we had to have language that made it sound like we robustly and enthusiastically say forward march for the DT. So it couldn't be just that the GNSO is working on this issue. It had to be, and also that the GAC would be equally disturbed if the message didn't say that it was the drafting team hard at work. So I don't find the letter itself.
I don't find the letter either. I think all it was sort of a summary. The last message I saw was sort of from Stefan was basically to the effect of that the message would be the drafting team's continuing to work on the issue and will provide its recommendations back to council. That was going to be the message to the GAC. Well, I don't know why that needs a whole agenda item and a detailed discussion, but anyway, I haven't seen any actual proposal in the GNSO agenda item.
May I add stuff?
Please.
Okay. You'll notice that one of the action items for Jeff from your last G Council call was that he was going to compose some lines. A discussion of those lines was brought up in the meeting with my request that, of course, the drafting team should be able to review those lines first. Now, at first, I think... Lawyer Newman said yes, but then I think later Lawyer Newman said, well, he wasn't sure. But anyhow, we have not seen those lines yet in the drafting team. The drafting team also, having listened to the presentations of the Olympic Committee and Deborah speaking for the Red Cross, both the Federation and the American, then basically we were going to send some questions to our stakeholders/constituencies on questions about how we should proceed. Now, I think those questions are still being worked on, but they also already exist, and it's just basically me creating problems about the questions. So that probably doesn't make any difference. But there are basically a set of questions that I should probably just forward to. I should probably forward to the list now just so people can see them. I wasn't sure if they were complete or not, but anyhow, I'll do that. And then when we were supposed to get these questions back, we were supposed to full steam ahead, decide on what to do about the second level for the two of them. So.
Okay, so it sounds like this first issue is only, or this the letter on the table, or that will be on the table, will only address the first, the top level, and not the second level issues.
Oh, yes, this is only second level discussion that's happening now. First level is dead. And it's the second level, and it's second level only for, I believe, Red Cross and IOC. I brought up several issues, some of which got shot down quite quickly, like, well, if we're considering special protections at the second level, shouldn't we be considering them for everyone who has come to us saying they need them for various reasons and look at the characteristics that actually make somebody merit them? Because one of the discussions that we had was very nicely, IOC explained how their need for them in response to this was sui generis. And then when you talked to the Red Cross, well, you discover that their need is sui generis also. So how to sui generis is generi, generally. Anyway, how to things that are one of a kind could therefore be the same category and be discussed in the same breath, and how if those two were one of a kind, then how did we know that there weren't other institutions that also had one-of-a-kind needs, and how were we supposed to proceed with all these one-of-a-kind things that are all maybe in the same category, maybe not. So me, I got very, very confused. And so that's part of, and another discussion that was brought up, and I'm not sure it's in the question, is given that these things are each one-of-a-kind, even if we're not able to look at other people's and look at the general problem, shouldn't we separate the question? Because obviously if they're both one of a kind, well then what do we do with that? How do we handle that? Again, me being very confused, I, as you all know, I confuse easy. So, you know, that's, and so now I'll send you the discuss list, the email.
Okay, great. Thanks, Aubrey. That's really helpful. As I look at the GNSO Council's updated discussion agenda for tomorrow, it looks like this item has been moved from issue number one to their consent agenda. So
I just saw that. That's very clever. No discussion.
I would suggest one of you take it off the consent agenda.
Yeah, because we've not seen the letter.
Exactly. Yeah, I mentioned that, I think, on a chat with one of you the other day, is when I first noticed that. I thought that was quite clever.
Sorry. Isn't that kind of chutzpah-ish?
It is surprising.
It is surprising?
Sorry, I'm get this cat off my lap.
Okay, I have sent the mail.
Okay, so, yeah, it sounds like they need to maybe move that off the consent agenda and start to have some discussion about what that actual letter looks like, since nobody's seen it yet, and there may be some disagreement as to the level of endorsement the council wants to give to the work of the group.
Aubrey, with a question again.
Yes, please.
Shouldn't a letter that the G Council sends to the GAC, somebody as important as the GAC, be a letter that is presented in a motion and voted on?
Well, we could probably try to insist on that, but everybody will think we're just being picky for no reason, since nobody's going to disagree with the letter.
Well, of course people
are. Except for us.
Well, it would be nice if they could try to find a language that, you know, but we could agree with, meaning it doesn't have to be some kind of ringing endorsement of the work, but, you know, just, yes, they're working, and look at them work.
Should I right now just reply to the council list and ask that that be taken out of the consent agenda?
Yeah, and I would also ask that the draft be sent to the council.
Right. Yeah.
So there can be some discussion about it.
All right.
Okay. Did anyone else have anything on this issue? Sounds like we just need to wait and see what's happening with this letter. If not, let's go on to the next item on the agenda, which is the GNSO Council to vote on a charter for a drafting team to create working groups to establish best practices for addressing abusive registrations. Okay, let me go look at what the council, maybe they've changed that a little bit on their webpage. They've given a little more information about that discussion. Let's see. Following the recommendation of the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group, the council requested a discussion paper on the creation of non-binding best practices to help registrars and registries address the abusive registrations of domain names. The discussion paper recommended the creation of two working groups, one to establish the framework for best practices and one to propose a candidate best practices to address the abusive registration of domain names. The council must now consider a motion to set up a drafting team to create the charter for these orgs. This motion was deferred from May 10th. Looks like Zaid has made the motion. I need to pull that
up. I'm taking a look at it now.
As I recall, Wendy made a comment on the list where she said she would vote against this.
Yes.
She felt like two drafting teams was a bit excessive. And I don't think we've had much discussion other than that. Let me pull up this motion exactly.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have anything to add on this to get this going?
Well, I mean, only that I would echo the broad concern about having two drafting teams. You know, whether it's really necessary to split the limited voluntary resource that we've got in the community amongst the further two groups, which seem to have some overlapping areas of purview, doesn't seem the best use of resources. Other than that, I haven't particularly focused it. Presumably this is being driven by the registrar. And, I mean, that they want two groups?
The registrars want two groups, really?
Oh, I'm asking. Is it, you know, I mean...
Oh. Well, the motion was made by Zaid, and it looks like it was seconded by Carlos Aguirre.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and as I look at the motion, it says it's resolved that the GNSO Council hereby approves the formation of a GNSO drafting team, which will be responsible for developing the charters for the two working groups to address the creation of non-binding best practices to help registrars and registries address the abusive registration of domain names as identified above, and resolve the drafting team will consider the discussion paper prepared by ICANN staff as well as the discussions of the GNSO Council on the discussion paper and the public workshops on this topic as part of its deliberations and development of the charters. You know, I have a problem with that last part because, you know, these public workshops that the staff always organizes are so one-sided, and so, you know, it just looks like maybe they're really stacking the deck on what information will be considered by these groups.
The problem is finding people to argue the other side, even if we insist on the point.
What do you mean?
It just seems that one group's going to establish a framework for best practice, and then one's a cross-community technical group to propose best practices.
So it's sort of, you know, putting the cart before the horse, maybe, that they first need to set up the groups before they can actually come up with the best practices to recommend.
Well, I don't know. I just think if you're taking a cross-community group to propose best practice, why not have one to establish the framework? But I guess all we can do is raise the issues, and if we don't agree, vote against.
I wonder how much support there is for this motion, since
Was there a discussion on at the 10 May meeting? Can you recall, Bill?
You know, my brain is so foggy right now.
Okay.
I don't. I'm sorry. I'm just so multitasked. I don't recall that off the top of my head.
No worries.
Let me see if I have notes. But don't wait for me.
Okay. Well, I do remember I got an email from a member, Victoria McKevedy, in the UK, who was interested in participating on one of these working groups, or maybe both of them. I don't know, but she's interested in participating in the working group on the issue. So I'm just kind of flagging that here now, for because it sounds like at least one group is going to be created, and we're going to want people to participate, and we've had someone volunteer already, an attorney.
Okay.
I cannot find any my notes from that discussion, so I apologize. Anyway, back to the point, though. Wendy said only that it's her objection was the two teams, I guess. Although she's previously just objected to the whole kind of concept, of course. Do we have any particular concerns about? Hello?
Yeah, my line is terrible. I'm not sure that I can be heard.
There's Wendy.
Your ears must have been ringing. Please elaborate your view on this issue.
I just think it's a bad a waste of time. We're not going to have the energy to put into it, so it'll come up with something useless and harmful, not just useless.
Yeah, we're all in favor of the GNSO doing useless stuff. It's harmful stuff we have to stop.
So how do we spin this into an argument for the council to not go down?
Well, I think what we can say is that, you know, our constituents...
think anyone else wants to do it either.
Sorry, Julie here. I was going to say perhaps what we can say is that, you know, the community resources are constantly being told, you know, people have limited time, and it seems unproductive to split people with an interest in the broad topic across two different processes.
Yeah.
I really wonder, this is Bill, I wonder if people who are deeply committed to this are going to find that a compelling argument on its own. They could make the argument, well, these do play two completely different roles and have different functions and yada, yada, yada. So if we want to argue against it only on that ground, it seems probably we end up isolated, don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure a lot of the other stakeholder groups want to spend their time and energy on this. This is, you know, what my sense is this is something that the IPC wants or the business constituency wants.
Why do they want to?
Pardon me?
Well, I'd like to hear from somebody who's paid closer attention to this. Why, what is their thing for trying to get two working groups, one a GNSL group and one a cross-community?
Maybe they figure that work can be done more quickly and they want the outcome to come sooner rather than later.
Okay, but you're just speculating. I was just wondering if anybody who had been part of the conversation knew.
Are the minutes for that meeting available? I'm looking on the website.
The minutes from the last meeting?
Website. From the, this was discussed at a council meeting in the past? If so, there must be minutes.
Yeah. I didn't save them. Let's see. GNSL council meeting.
Minutes.
Agenda.
Oh, it's in the calendar. The calendar has minutes.
Yeah, it was, best practices for addressing abusive was on the agenda last time, so we must have talked about it. And we must have deferred it.
Yeah, this was deferred from the May 10th meeting, as I recall.
Right, okay. So.
Yeah, that's what it says on the website.
Okay.
So, I don't know, it sounds like council needs to have a little bit more discussion about how to set this up and hear from at least take our concerns about the size of the number of resources that would be required for it to get us to be able to participate in this effectively. A lot of people, still two groups. You know, the IPC's got all the money to send their lobby out there, so...
Yeah, but why can't they... I mean, I'm just surprised that they would want to... I'm just wondering what they're up to, that they simultaneously would want a GNSO and a cross community going on. That I would think that they'd want to do the GNSO first, lock down a GNSO view, and then go into a cross community, if that's needed.
I think it's probably about timing that, you know, it's a shortcut. It's trying to get to the end result quicker. So, you know, double up the workload. I think that's probably why. But it's worth talking about at council tomorrow, you know, finding out from the people on the council who are in these groups and Zaid, who's, you know, this is his motion, he's pushing this.
Okay, but do we have any substantive concerns about the notion of even identifying best practices, how those best practices might be used, and so on?
Well, you have to look in more detail at the report that the working group put out and how it defined an abuse and what it recommended for addressing that abuse.
Has anybody talked to the registrars about this?
Well, the report... out there. I mean, it's a public report, so...
And there's been an issues paper, too. This is on abusive registrations, right?
Yeah.
And the abusive... And I'm looking at the minutes now. And the abusive I mean, and the issues paper recommended the two working groups, one to establish a framework for best practices and one to propose candidate best practices. I don't know why those two, to address the abuse of registrations of domain names. Jeff Newman noted that the registry stakeholder group was not in favor of moving forward with the motion and expressed the following concerns. The motion is perhaps premature given the current changes in the GTLD space with new registries coming into existence. B, there's an overlap with other initiatives currently underway that touch on best practices. C, the council currently has a full load. And then it was
okay.
Yoav who asked for the deferral.
Who did? Yoav. Okay. All right. Well, I take back everything I've said then. Thank you for finding those minutes. I tend to look at them quickly and toss them.
They're in
because they almost never reflect on what we said.
You can always find them in the calendar.
Yeah, I know.
And the minutes. They're always there for you when you need them.
Yep. So if the registries are opposed, if we want to echo their arguments, the thing goes down in flames. Boom.
Yeah.
But you might want to check with them and make sure that's still where they're at. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah, but I think that's a good path forward to proceed.
But the points about resources, spread of effort, and lack of clarity, I mean, I'm just personally not clear on the rationale for this way of splitting, but I haven't read the issue report.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we need to get our minds wrapped around this issue and get more people involved in this group and really focused on this. But we've got a volunteer, so let's send her into the group when it's created. Did anyone else have anything they want to add on this issue? Okay, not hearing anything. Let's go on to an update on the Joint Supporting Organizations Advisory Committee on New GTLD Applicant Support Working Group, the JAS Working Group. And Aubrey, since you're on the call here with us and very active in this group, could you give us a bit of an update as to what's happening here?
Can I just, before you begin, Aubrey, ask, Robin, are you looking at an old agenda? Because you're reading these in different order from how they appear on the web.
You mean the NSO Council's agenda?
Yeah.
Our issues are not necessarily in the same order as the NSO Council's issues.
Okay, you're just trying to confuse me. All right.
Okay, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, and I was still looking at the calendar. What issue am I being asked to talk about?
The joint support, the JAS working group.
Oh, the JAS. Rafiq isn't on the call? Because
no.
I wouldn't want to overshadow him. Okay. Slight history of what happened. With the creation of the SARP, and they created something called the CMR, the Community Member Resource, which were intended to be JAS members who participated in the work of creating the recommendations to serve as advisors to creating the training materials for the SARP members and be available as advice on process and process only for the SARP as it went along. They're not to be involved in either picking SARP members, though they may be involved in abstract discussions about balance of populations and gender, but not discussing specific SARP members. And they won't be involved in the issues of, what applicant X, but they may be asked questions about how did you intend people to weigh such and such against such and such in the JAS. So that's the kind of function. Now, it seems that there is objections, especially from the expected quarter on this. Now, there's a difference of opinion whether the objection is, one, that there is a CMR, two, that JAS members are the only people in this CMR and they're not going for a wider community swath, or three, that the JAS dared to give the name of the members of the CMR to the staff directly without coming to them first. Alan suspects that it is the latter, that it, the issue is once again the issue of G Council's need to micromanage everything and the whole military chain, hierarchical chain of command thing. I suspect from things that I've heard that it may go slightly beyond that, but, you know, Alan's much more involved. In terms of at-large and ALAC, ALAC hasn't taken a formal position on it, but the informal position coming out of them is, well, what's going on with the G Council again? We think what they did is fine, you know, just let's get this thing moving. But, as I said, Alan is trying to get a formal statement from the ALAC, I keep calling them Central Committee, but they have a different name, Executive Committee, Steering Committee, something, on this issue, basically, you know, so that when he speaks tomorrow, he's able to say, or he's able to say, this is ALAC position, this is my position, and hopefully do a better job at differentiating, you know, the two. So that's pretty much where it's at, and we're pretty much now at a standstill because of the wrench thrown in this ointment, or the fly thrown in the ointment. I guess you don't throw wrenches in ointments. On waiting for the GNSO, Kurt is kind of flustered at, what does he do now? I keep telling him, you know, this is implementation issue, just inform them of what you're doing and go ahead, but of course he's afraid of the wrath of the G Council. So we're kind of stuck. We're kind of curious where it's going to come out tomorrow. And ask me questions if you have any.
Yeah, so it sounds like, you know, the G Council could maybe stall this or delay it indefinitely, or... Is that a realistic possibility?
I don't think so. I think what the G Council could do is kill the role of the CMR and just have no formal community member, you know, resources. And so then they would just rely on their informal community member resources. I don't see that the GNSO can stop the SARP at the moment. The only thing that this is really related to is the CMR role, as far as I can tell, which the SARP could live again without, you know, and then Kurt could come to me or to Carlton or to Rafiq or any of the people that were there and say, by the way, what did you guys mean when you said? And just do it informally if that was necessary. Hopefully, though, the GNSO can sort of climb down off the horse and say, oh, okay. Well, we really wanted them to talk to us first to get permission. But, you know, this kind of thing. And Rafiq's argument has been, listen, you extended our charter to work with the staff on the implementation. That's what we did. No. You had to pass any names to us first. So. But, no, I don't think they can stop SARP itself. I don't think they can stop the applicant support program itself, no matter how much some of us might suspect they would love to do that. What they can do, I believe, is stop the formalization of the CMR.
So what would happen in replace of that then? You said something about informal.
Basically, the role that the CMR was supposed to play was to answer questions about what did Jazz mean here? You know, what was the background on this? What was the concern? Because a lot of stuff in the Jazz, it leaves itself open for cultural interpretation of not knowing where the applications would come from, you know, what means what where. What is financial ability? What is financial non-capability? You know, you say no commercial companies, but here we are in a country where there is no NGO, and this is a community company that, while it's, you know, a regular company because that's the only kind they got, but it is registered as an NGO. It is not. So those kinds of, you know, back off issues. Well, what did you mean must be a business? Oh, must not be a business. Must not, you know, another statement in it is it can't be for a dot brand, but if somebody happens to have marked their name to protect it, that doesn't exclude them. So somebody could come back with questions about, you know, that kind of ambiguity.
Right, that's a very difficult distinction. I'm not sure it really exists.
Well, in that case, I think what would come back is it really depends on the description that they put in the application. Did they apply as a community? Did they happen to, you know, if you've applied as a community, and I don't know how many of you looked at question 20 and what it takes to do a community qualified application, but it's essentially, you know, 15, 20 pages plus of some hard questions to answer. Did they do all that? Can you tell from their descriptions, from the rules they propose putting into place, from that, that this really is a community-based application? Or is, you know, that just a throw-off, and or they maybe even didn't do community, and the name is what counts? So I think you're right. At an abstract level, it seems hard. If you dip down and you look into what question an application forces you to answer, it's not quite as hard anymore.
Yeah. I'm under the impression that there aren't that many community applications filed. It's such a difficult standard to meet.
Oh, it's really hard. I mean, I worked on two of them. It's mind-bogglingly difficult. It doesn't look that hard when you first read the questions, but when you try to answer them and then you try to make your whole application consistent with those answers, given the rest of the ICANN garbage, it's a real challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't expect there will be many of them at all.
Except that people applying for aid were kind of, if you read the applicant support program stuff, it does sort of put an emphasis on community.
Yeah. That's true. Well, that will be an interesting discussion tomorrow.
So I don't know what you guys can do to keep them from blocking. Obviously, as the chair of the at-large new GTLD working group who works with Jazz and is certainly in favor of the list of names being sent forward, I'm hoping that the G Council says, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't see the possibility of them not saying okay is really reflected in the agenda. I mean, it's a working group update from staff, answers to council questions, discussion, next steps. There's no proposal.
You know, the discussion and the next steps would certainly steer the work and guide it. So,
okay, but I mean, if they propose, you know, let's throw a major spanner in the works, then obviously we can go ballistic.
Right. And require a motion.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
But anyhow, so it's supporting Rafiq in the interpretation, because his interpretation is, from all the conversations I've had with him, is, what are they talking about? This was the work they gave us permission to do when they updated our charter to see the thing through to an end and work with the staff. So what's the story? And
is Rafiq going to be on the call? I think he was sick yesterday or today.
I have no idea.
I assume
he said it's too early in the morning. Oh, that's right. He said he had bronchitis.
Yes.
He hasn't indicated that he won't be on the call.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, then.
Well, and, you know, this is something that GAC wants, too, and since the council wants to do cartwheels and backflips to make the GAC happy, here's an opportunity to do that.
And you're going to, because this is something the GAC cares about.
Right.
This is something that is important to the GAC, kind of like, and since, you know, the registries have become the handmaidens of the GAC, you know, perhaps just bringing that up in a nice way. But
yeah, that's why I don't see it dying. And this is You know, they were so stupid. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be just jumping in, but, you know, I mean, when they had to go up to Capitol Hill, when they got dragged there by the intellectual property people, and Kirk had to go up there and show congressmen, congress creatures, that, you know, the ICANN cared about the world's poor and was doing public interest to God's work and all that stuff, being able to cite the jazz activity was really important. And, you know, their whole interface with government, this is, I feel like we're like Franklin Delano Roosevelt saving the capitalists from themselves, you know? This is like just obvious that they have to do this in order to get along with the governments.
So it might just end up a slap on the wrist for the jazz working once again for not having come and cleared what they did with
right. With the they want a chance to bitch and moan about it, but I can't imagine them trying to stop it at this point.
I may or may not be listening in on the call, but I'm going to. I decided to go to Netroot Nation in Providence tomorrow, so I probably will do that instead of listening to your call.
How could anybody think there's anything better to do than be listening to a webcast of the council?
I don't know. I usually do it, but Netroot Nation just seems so much more interesting to me. I've never been to one.
Root Canal Nation, is that what?
You know, I really wish, though, that more of our folks were listening. We were the ones who demanded, for transparency's sake, that these things be webcasts and everything. And
I listen almost every time.
Yeah, I listen to them when it's not in the middle of the
night. Right. But it's a small group of us. I guess that's as much as you can ask.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I actually think it's pretty cool that they're webcast, and I remember a time when they weren't, and I thought they should be, and now they are, and, you know, so it's a step in the right direction, and most people...
Right, and I think it's good for ICANN to be able to say this is how we roll whenever they're pressed by unfriendly governments and so on, that everything is open and so on. So it's in their interest. I just wish more we could... Well, this is a different point. Sorry.
I have a lot of people. I have a feeling that there's probably a group of people that listen occasionally when there's something on the agenda that's important to their world.
You're right. But probably mostly from the other stakeholder groups.
Oh, yeah.
You know, can I interject here?
Please.
Yeah, it's Dee Dee. It's just, you know, the whole thing of this kind of participation is for non-commercial users is so... You know, like I can't afford to go to Prague with the rising of these airfares, et cetera. I mean, it just seems like that the whole thing is like a sham unless there is really. I mean, if ICANN is making all that money from the new registrants, why can't they set up some kind of serious travel budget to actually bring in people so that they do get more involved in, from the non-commercial sector. It just seems like I think we have to demand that, and I think there would be a lot more participation. You know, it's only left to those few who happen to have some sort of either university resources or other ways of finagling travel funds. But, I mean, I really would like to go to Prague and be more active in this organization. And it's just, it's very prohibitive. I mean, the price of airfare now has just really gone to the sky.
Well, Didi, I have to say that, you know, this has been one of non-commercial's biggest problems, biggest barriers over the years in terms of getting people to participate is that it's prohibitively expensive. And, you know, there's only so much you can do online and via email, and so many of the key decisions are truly made, you know, during the coffee break and at the ICANN meetings, and having bodies in those rooms is so important. But I also want to say that ICANN has in this last budget proposal for the financial year 2013, for the first time ever, opened up its coffers and will be sending three representatives, or will be authorizing travel support for three representatives from each of the constituencies, and as well as the NCSG Executive Committee. So this is a step in that direction, and this is an issue that's open for public comment right now, and I was going to raise it at the end of the call when we talk about public comment, but I think the comments that you just made about how difficult it is to participate and how much you'd like to participate, but because of the lack of a commercial interest, funding your participation is prohibitively expensive. So these are the kind of comments that I think should be hearing in this public comment period right now, and because it will help support this proposal that's in the current budget that would fund three representatives from each constituency. So that will help us to be able to bring more people to these meetings. So I'm sorry to sort of go off track there, but I think the point you brought up was really important.
Can I comment one quick?
Please do.
This is Aubrey again. Two things. One is, I mean, obviously Dee Dee's right, and it's good that we're getting more, so we should definitely support that. Two, we should also be for continuing to push for more and better remote participation. And I know sometimes getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do a remote meeting is difficult. It's sort of jet lag without the jet time. And so, but if that stuff is dependable and really works, that does take the burden off of people that are just interested in, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the meetings and not the whole week's worth of seeing, to be able to attend without having to travel. So I think using that stuff and yelling like mad when it doesn't work properly is also something we have to do, because we'll never be able to get everybody there. 3 is great. It's better than we got, but it's still not 25. But if we had 25 that were doing remote participation, and this goes back to what Bill was saying before about, you know, remote participating it, as it were, in the council meeting. That. And then finally, the word finagle means to obtain something by devious or dishonest means. I don't think those of us that are getting there on our own are actually doing it by devious or dishonest means. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, and I actually wanted to raise the issue that, you know, I think we could get a lot more remote participation if we had more translation services. So that might be something that we want to think about pushing for in the future, in these kinds of budget discussions and resource discussions, in terms of what would really help us to get more people participating. I think if we could hold our meetings such that non-English speakers could actively participate, I think we get, you know, a lot more people and a great quality of people. So this would be another thing that I think we would want to push for getting more active engagement from our members. Okay, so again, sorry to go off the topic there. Let me go back. So was there anything else on Jazz, or shall we go on to the RAA negotiations?
I don't have anything else.
Okay. So the next issue is the RAA negotiations. The registrar accreditation agreement is up for amendment, and law enforcement agencies are actively working to get the things that they would like to see in the agreement that would require the registrar to do a lot of data checking and surveillance, and so we have concerns about some of these proposals from law enforcement because of the privacy implications. There are additional concerns that we share with the registrars about the costs that this will create. It will also, as Rafiq has pointed out somewhere else, that it will be difficult, make it much more difficult for people in developing countries to get online because of the additional barriers that are being put in place by law enforcement. And then ICANN, it turns out, just adopted the position of the law enforcement agencies, so they're not doing anything to protect the privacy rights of people. So, you know, there's a lot of concern about what's happening in this issue right now at ICANN and what can we do. It's not really clear. These negotiations are secret. And, you know, once in a while, staff will trickle out a paper or some high-level point discussion paper, but there hasn't been a lot of information to come out. Now, yesterday, there was sort of an information dump, finally, on this issue. I personally just browsed it, haven't had a chance to look in depth at it. If anybody else has, maybe Wendy, Joy, Avery, Bill, anyone else has looked at this in more detail, I'd really appreciate hearing more about it. I sent a note the other day to a bunch of registrars asking about what we can do to try to help them and how we can work together on this, because we do share some objectives, try to make these amendments more reasonable. Of course, we come at it from more often a privacy perspective. They come at it from more often a cost issue for the business. But nonetheless, we share some objectives. And so I'm really trying to figure out a way where we can do something with the registrars to try to help them, to support them, to resist the pressure that they're getting from both law enforcement and ICANN to not just roll over and accept all of these changes. I haven't really gotten much concrete feedback from them in terms of what we can do, but I want to continue this discussion and really push them a little bit further, and I hope all of you will as well when you get a chance to talk to some of the registrars. And I'd be curious to hear what others have to say on this topic, maybe someone who's had a chance to look at the what came out yesterday in more detail. So I don't think this is really an issue that's on the agenda for tomorrow's council.
No, it's not, and that's why I'm wondering why we're talking about it.
Well, because it's coming up. It is an issue that is coming up. That
you sure, but we're barely keeping her heads above water, and I personally, I'd rather talk about what's going to be talked about in the council tomorrow, and Prague, and
well,
come back to
this. Well, this is a Prague issue. I mean, this is coming to a head in Prague. This is
okay. Bob, just telling you my views.
Can I comment quickly? This is Aubrey again.
Please.
I think, first of all, I quickly read through a lot of it and decided that at the moment, the real paladins, and I put this out in a tweet yesterday, the real paladins of privacy and data protection are the registrars, especially the European registrars, who are trying to stand firm. Now, whether they're standing firm because that's the law in Europe, or whether they're standing firm because they believe with it, or they're standing firm because they don't want to do work to change anything, you know, they're the ones that are holding that up. So I think continuing with the discussions you all have been having with registrars on this is a good thing. You know, I am just in the halfway through doing a stint as the vice chair of the IRQPC group, just so I can clean my record with the registrars, because it was really grotty. But finding out ways, talking to them, and finding out ways in which we can let them know what really matters to the NCSG, and B, finding out how, if at all, we can help them try to hold the line. And then I think the third thing is adding our claim to it that, you know, talking to LEA without talking to data retention and privacy officers from the same country is only getting half the story, and that should never happen. Thank you.
Yes, I completely agree that, you know, I can't sometimes forget when they say law enforcement that there are other laws that need enforcing, like privacy laws, and those should be included when they talk to law enforcement agencies.
Joy here?
Please, Joy.
Wondering if there might be some options to take this forward, One is perhaps whether it's possible to invite the registrars to our Prague NCSG Policy Committee meeting day.
That's a great idea.
And just ask them, you know, talk to us and to hear a little bit about our, you know, our comments and perhaps ask them the question that Avery just posed. And another option might be, you know, sometime, I'm not sure what the trajectory is for these next steps over the rest of the year, but I wonder whether we could do some kind of public negotiation exercise in the build-up to Toronto. In other words, stating some kind of public position on the status of negotiations and the issues that are in the public domain. Even if we can't get into the negotiations, at least there's some kind of input into them, based on some discussions within our own constituencies.
Right. Now, that's a great idea, that if we could figure out some way to get that input, even without, you know, not being in the room, they certainly should be willing to share some information with us and get some feedback from us. And so if we could get that channel going in a more thorough, official way, that'd be helpful.
It's certainly something that I'd be happy to help.
Why are you a volunteer?
With working with others on.
Okay, great. Well,
I know this is something that Wendy was also interested in. I'm not sure if she's still connected.
Right. Yeah, I know she also wanted to talk about this issue on the call today, or at least wanted it on the agenda. So, Wendy, if you're on the call, did you have anything you wanted to say on the RAA issue? I know you've been pretty active on the issue.
I see on Skype she says she thinks her phone's gone to auto mute.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, if she can get back on, then it would be great to hear what she has to say. On the Skype, she says, the reason she wanted to discuss this is because it's going to be decided before it ever gets to council, and I want us to at least be trying to be part of the discussion. So, yes, I think we're all in agreement on that. And so we'll follow up with the registrars. I'll see if I can get them to, one of them who's involved in the negotiations, to come talk to us during our policy committee meeting on Monday morning in Prague, and also see if we can set up some kind of more formal communication. I know that a number of us have been just having a little bit of informal talks with Graham and some of the others, but, you know, I don't really feel like I fully understand what's happening in those negotiations, and so try to figure out a way to get that channel of communication a little more greased up and moving, I think would be really helpful, as Joy has pointed out. Okay, does anyone else have anything they want to add on this? Okay, not hearing anything. Let us move on to the next issue. GNSO Council to vote on motion to consider next steps regarding who is access recommendations. Let me go back and look at the council's
next steps on who is. Didn't we vote against the last motion on the who is?
Don't remember. This is the issue on tomorrow's agenda, item 6.
Sorry, no, let me check the, I'm just checking the agenda.
The who is motion, I mean. Recommendation was considered as part of the consent agenda at Council's 16 February meeting. At that meeting, the ISP constituency requested that the proposal to end this work be removed from the consent agenda and considered as part of the GNSO's main agenda. A further suggestion was suggested that constituency stakeholder members work with staff to identify a path forward and that the topic be discussed at the Costa Rica meeting. A motion has been made Not really clear who made it. It looks like maybe Wolf made it. Consider the next step.
That link to the motions isn't actually working from what I can see.
Okay. Well, I see it here. Yeah.
Okay.
Therefore, be it resolved, the GNSO Council recommends that the issue of who is access to ensure that who is data is accessible in an appropriately reliable, enforceable, and consistent fashion is included in the RAA policy development process when it commences. That's terrible. Resolve, the GNSO Council will review by the end of September 2012 whether RAA PDP has commenced and included this issue or whether alternative approaches should be pursued. Well, I mean, you know, it's just taking a look at that first resolve there, it doesn't look very good to me. It looks like, you know, they're going to make sure that they're going to require registrars to do a lot of checking to make sure this who has data is reliable, enforceable, and consistent. And, you know, so this has privacy concerns for me. It's not going to be easy to register something anonymously for perfectly legitimate purposes if something like this goes through. I mean, this is just my cursory look at it, but folks who have been following this issue more closely, I'd be really happy to hear from.
Yeah, just Joy here. Also, I mean, there are always perfectly valid reasons why people can use proxies. You know, there are lawful reasons why people can use proxies, so I'm not sure the extent to which this motion precludes the further discussion of these in more detail in a PDP. It just simply says that issues of who is access be included, that the issue of who is access be included in the PDP when it commences. I mean, that seems to me to not be a problem, provided that they aren't prescribing mere implementation without actual discussion of the OLIS issues. But I'm not sure. I mean, what are other people's position on that as a general proposition?
Yeah, I mean, my sense would be to vote against this motion. And I can't imagine, you know, a lot of registrars would be happy with it, but maybe they figure they're throwing a bone to law enforcement. They're going to agree to do something here, and maybe they'll get off their back in this other arena. I don't know. I'm just sort of speculating. But certainly, you know, why would they want to have all the extra burden and responsibility, and they didn't, you know, if they didn't have to.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what registrars are thinking about it at the moment. So is the proposal that NCSC councillors vote against this motion?
That would be my sense, unless somebody can tell us why we'd be in favor of it.
I think we'll never be very enthusiastic about this whole train of who is work, but there is the problem that there's been this long train of steps before this that the council has approved. So it's just a question of whether we just want to be, you know, standing on principle and saying we don't like any of this, even though the rest of it has all moved forward through these years of steps. I'm not arguing against I'm not saying we should support it. I'm just saying.
But it looks like this motion has some specifics in it that we don't like, and so it's not necessarily, you know, saying, oh, we throw out all the who has worked that's ever done before us, but this is not ready for prime time. This is too restrictive in its approach. You know, come back to us when you take these considerations into drafting of the motion to look at these issues. I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of brainstorming here because I don't think we have to necessarily come at this as like we're obstinate and standing on principle, but...
No, I understand. You send me three bullet points and I'll vote no. Because I'm too tired right now to think of it myself.
What time is your council meeting tomorrow?
Same time as now, unfortunately.
That's around 10 o'clock now, right?
But this is my third conference call today. I'm a little fried on it.
I was just trying to take the time.
It's only 10:20. I don't have an excuse other than I'm exhausted.
Well, that happens at a certain age.
I'm exhausted at 8:20 in the morning.
Yeah, at a certain age. Thank you, Robin. That's it. Stick the knife in there. What's our specific complaint about this particular? Tell me, say it again in 10 words.
I think that this particular motion, the way I read it in terms of what, let me go back to it here on the screen. Okay, they want to ensure WHOIS data is accessible in an appropriately reliable, enforceable, and consistent fashion. And that strikes me that it's only really considering one half of the picture and doesn't potentially leave enough room for legitimate, anonymously registered domains.
So we should say in a council position that we, in a council meeting, that we want inappropriately reliable or appropriately unreliable, unenforceable, and inconsistent WHOIS listings, right?
So you don't necessarily mean that you want the opposite when you say you don't want the way it's described. I mean, that's not the natural logical conclusion.
Good. I need a lawyer to tell me at this point today.
Did
I hear you?
I think so. I think it doesn't take into account the appropriate privacy concerns of individuals and groups that need to be protected.
Well, we could propose a friendly amendment. We could propose a friendly amendment which says to ensure that WHOIS data is accessible in an appropriately reliable, enforceable, consistent, and human rights compliant.
Yes.
Either human rights compliant, or if they don't buy that, compliant with, you know, with privacy standards and due process of law.
Okay. I'm down with that.
Legal protections of consumers. I mean, these are legal rights. So,
so who's drafting that? And after they say no, then we vote no.
Yes. I'm happy to draft something. Do you think I should propose for the meeting?
Yeah, for tomorrow, can you send something in advance? Because also, we're the only two counselors on this call, and the others will need some guidance.
Okay.
After they say no, then you vote on the amendment. So you vote yes on the amendment. Then if you lose that, you vote no on the motion.
Right.
Okay.
You're saying we shouldn't vote no on our own amendment?
I just wanted to make sure. Because
how tired do you think I am?
You never know.
Doesn't hurt to be clear.
All right. Well, I'll send it to Wolf and John. Garage.
Okay. Okay. So what's
Excuse me. Why should we? They haven't even sent us the letter to the GAC. Why do we have to give them anything in advance? Why don't you just spring it on them at the time?
Yeah, good idea. That's what they always try to do to us.
Yeah, they never share anything in advance with us.
We've got a friendly amendment. How could you possibly be against it? And then you've got no time. They've got no time.
I mean, I hate to be pissy, but that's 4 years of this I've watched, you know.
Can I recommend that, if you have time after everyone of the six council members has reviewed it and discussed it, if at that point you still have time to give them advance notice, I think that's always useful, especially if you'd really like the amendment to be accepted as friendly. Obviously, if you don't have time to do that before the meeting because you haven't managed to clear it with all of your peers, that's understandable. Not giving it to them in advance because they didn't give it to us in advance.
I know. I'm just being cranky.
Be the best.
I take your point, former chairperson. Although I would say that I suspect that they will not leap for joy at the human rights stuff. They consistently have said, we don't really understand what that means. What are you talking about? What are the implications of it? How does that fit in here? So.
Well, legal protection. That includes human rights.
Human rights scares them. It sounds like something expansive and UN-like that they're not familiar with.
Let me have a go at wording something. I'll send it to the NCESG policy list so that other councillors have a chance to comment, and then if there's time, I'll send it as a courtesy to Wolfgang and John.
By the way, can I ask anybody? Aubrey probably knows this, if she likes to spend time reading these things. Are we still the only stakeholder group that's having all of its stuff recorded and transcribed for public consumption? Do we have meetings?
I don't know. I think the CSG has recordings of their calls. I'm not sure. I think they
publicly accessible.
I think it's on the wiki.
I'd be curious.
Yeah. No, but that's a good question. You know, how are we all doing as stakeholder groups and as constituencies in terms of, you know, putting up the recordings and the transcripts and that sort of thing, and trying to be as transparent as we say we are.
Definitely a good issue to bring up. And any other business issue for the G Council meeting?
Is it, have anybody looked to see whether I'm right that there's this is not done?
I haven't checked recently.
Okay.
Worth looking into. I agree. Okay. Where are we on the agenda? Okay. So the next issue is the outreach task force discussion. What do we want to do? When I look at the council's agenda for tomorrow on this issue, the council has set up a drafting team to develop a charter for the outreach task force. A motion to approve that charter did not pass when made at the DCAR meeting. A second motion was made at the December 15th meeting and was not seconded, which meant it was not considered. In Costa Rica, the council decided to form a group to discuss options on how to proceed. This is an update item on the work of that group. Is anyone on the call a member of that group?
I've talked about this repeatedly, Robin. You blanked everything that comes out of my mouth.
Not necessarily blanked it. I may have just put it under a different header.
Okay. Well, under a different header. I have, in fact, reported about this about four times now.
Okay. Well, then that is my segue to say, Bill.
Well done. This is the same old thing, and I feel like I'm kind of like having a one versus everybody else issue here, because I'm the only person from NCSG who participates in any of this discussion, and I'm not sure whether anybody else cares, because when I've sent messages about this to the membership list and to the other lists, I've never gotten much response. So I'm kind of like just hoping that I'm not whining. I'm just saying I'm hoping I do have a mandate to continue to be the pain in the ass that I've been. The short version of this, once again, is that a group was formed, spent a year and a half developing a framework for an outreach task force. This was Olga Cavelli led this effort. This would have created a kind of umbrella mechanism for coordination and information sharing and transparency across stakeholder groups with regard to their outreach activities and tried to share best practices, etc. This would be a way, inter alia, of knowing how the other stakeholder groups are proceeding in this arena, what they're doing, and so on, and actually trying to do something in a cooperative spirit that we nominally should all care about, which is reaching out to people in particular in the developing world. And so this proposal came up, and if you remember, CSG decided at the last minute to kill it because they didn't want any kind of information sharing or obligation to have to talk to anybody else. They just wanted to get a piece of money from the budget and go off and do their own thing. And there was a lot of hanky-panky around the particulars of how this was done, and I could recapitulate all that, but I won't bother. The bottom line was that they asked for an extension, and people said, okay, let's give them more time, and then they promised to come up with an alternative, didn't, and then just basically the thing got shut down. So ever since then, we've been drifting with the council, unable to answer the board's question, what is it that you plan to do about outreach at the council level? And so what CSG has asked, suggested as an alternative, was that one of the five things that the outreach task force would have done, which would have been to survey and assess the outreach activities of various constituent parts of the GNSO in order to sort of know what everybody's doing, they introduced a motion saying, well, the staff will do that. And then we stop there. So the staff will provide information that we all go on our merry ways. And I said, number one, I don't really see it as right for the staff to try to assess the outreach efforts of NCUC and others with whom they may not be well familiar with our problems, constraints, and how we operate, etc. And number two, this is just cannibalizing the report in order to claim to still care about it by saying, oh, we want, you know, outreach, but we just don't want that. And so I've just said, no, that doesn't work. And if there's any effort going to be made to assess the outreach efforts of stakeholder groups, that the stakeholder groups ought to provide that information themselves, etc. And so this has just drifted, and we've been at loggerheads. And Chuck has tried to propose various kinds of wordings or to suggest that we should have wordings. But basically, we have a basic divide between, on the one hand, a vision that says ICANN should give money to each of the stakeholder groups, and we will all go off and do our own merry thing, and that will be outreach in ICANN, full stop. And another view which says there ought to be some measure of coordination and information sharing and cooperation among the different parts of the council, because number one, it would be useful internally from the standpoint of building cooperation and so on, and actually doing things better. And number two, it would also, I think, be better optics externally, since I spend a lot of time around governments and others who think that ICANN doesn't care about outreach to developing countries. So, bottom line is, we have not made any progress, and since we have not made any progress, the agreement was that we would report to the council that we've not made any progress.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Bill. But I think there has been a little bit of progress that's been made, in the sense of I did receive via email in the last day or so the questions that staff is asking of the community leaders about the kind of outreach that they're doing, and they've proposed an outreach session on Thursday in Prague to discuss particularly the answers that have come back from the community on these questions. So staff just basically asked these four questions of all of the community members, and I'll just read them quickly here. The definition of outreach presented to the ICANN community over the past two ICANN meetings is that which moves participants in, up, and or makes participants more effective. What else does outreach mean to you? That's the first question.
I think that's a ridiculous definition, but anyway.
Well, all right. The second question, what outreach activities have your community engaged in? Does your community have a model or an example of a successful outreach effort they would like to share? Question three, how do we best coordinate the efforts of the ICANN staff and community? Question 4, what do you think the next step should be between the Prague and Toronto meetings in order to further this community building effort? So, you know, frankly, for me, I look at this letter and I feel like they are trying to move the ball forward. They are asking from us, what does outreach mean to us? What is working for us? What do we need for staff to do? So, you know, it seems to me this is a helpful step forward, and, you know, provided the community can provide meaningful, substantive responses to these questions, we can then have, a pretty good community-driven discussion on these issues in Prague. And Bill, if you'd like to continue to carry the flag and represent NCSG in these meetings that in Prague, that would be terrific as well. Or if you want to take a step back because you're up to your eyeballs and other things, that's fine too. We can certainly find someone else. But I wanted to see where you were first, because I know you've been working on this issue for a while. You thought I'd forgotten, but I actually knew you were working on this issue. So that's where we are on that. Did anyone have anything they wanted to say?
Number one, it would have been nice if somebody told me that.
Well,
if the staff had shared that with the drafting team, that'd be good.
Yeah.
So basically, the staff is doing what the CSG asked for on its own volition, rather than recognizing that there was a process and a disagreement. So that's nice.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
Look, this is being recorded, and so I don't really want to go into all this but it was really a lot of time-wasting BS that was driven by one particular lobbyist in Washington, D.C., who we all know, and the personal aspirations and stuff of certain people, and I'm annoyed that I spent a lot of time on it. So, yes, I will step back, and you can take over, Robin.
Oh, God, that's not what I wanted to hear.
No, you think it's a good idea.
No.
They're basically throwing out all the work that was done, okay? I mean, people spent a year and a half developing the Outreach Task Force report, and we have been arguing against them on the grounds that they did that in a completely nasty way, and undermined any collective sense of shared movement on this, and now we're going to just go, well, all right, fine.
Well, let me understand.
I mean, you know,
it's
not my preferred approach. What can I tell you?
Well, let me understand, because when I get this letter, it says to me, you know, what do you think we ought to be doing? It's asking for input from us, the community.
It is saying that there will not be an outreach task force or other mechanism for coordination across stakeholder groups because CSG wins. And if that's what we're all good with, then fine. I'll go back to the drafting team and say, you know what, we've reconsidered, and y'all can do whatever. It's fine.
That's what we're saying here. I'm just trying to understand why it's a bad thing to ask for feedback from the community. You're saying because it's replacing, this feedback would be essentially to replace all of the work?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand.
This is the issue. Rafiq was on that group, too. I helped Olga with some of the language and so on. People put time into this. There was a serious effort driven by the very few developing country people that actually participate in the GNSO to try to think about how to do a framework for collaboration around this and to foster some sense of collective purpose and responsibility. And the American business community came back and said, screw it, we don't care about any of that. We're going to do it our own way. We love developing countries. Don't tell us we don't. Just give us a bunch of money, and we'll go out and print brochures to use to cultivate them people at various meetings, and that's the end of it. I don't think that that's an effective strategy for ICANN for outreach, personally.
But why does this necessarily mean that? I mean, they're asking...
Because they will never support the other approach.
Okay. We need support for developing countries. We come back and say all of the needs that you're saying we have. I mean...
I'm just saying, agreeing to what they want is agreeing to what they want. That's all I'm saying. That's fine.
But I don't think
we're agreeing. Since
the staff has decided to do it anyway, it doesn't matter. There was a motion which we voted down to do precisely what the staff is doing. So, okay. Apparently that didn't matter either.
But I thought, just to play devil's advocate, I thought that the board said we need more outreach, that you guys got to figure out some way to do more outreach. No, so the motion that was put forward, the council didn't like that method of doing outreach. And you're saying this is exactly
the... No, it wasn't the council that didn't like. The most of the council doesn't give a crap, I don't think.
Okay, so the drafting team didn't like it.
No. CSG didn't like it. I just said all this.
Okay, but what I'm trying to understand is, so the CSG didn't like, because all this asked for is input from the community, and you're saying the CSG...
Well, why couldn't you make a statement, Bill, that maybe we should just make a statement saying that it's been very frustrating and that there hasn't been any authentic movement towards the outreach, and that there needs to be substantial whatever you felt, whatever went on there that you felt was ignored. You can underline it.
The original motion was monkeyed around with and changed at the last minute. People from registry said that they would have supported it, but they were giving more time to these guys who promised to come back with an alternative language, and then they didn't come back with alternative language, and they just said kill it. And at that point, everything had evaporated around, the discussion had evaporated, and people kind of all went, well, we don't know what to do. So they, you know, there was a... The way the outreach task force was killed was a very not thought out and transparent and collectively discussed and reasoned through decision. And I would have rather that instead of caving in to CSG and saying, okay, we do it however you want, we go back and say, no, that's not working, and we'd like to reconsider the original proposal that was voted down. But that doesn't happen if instead we say, okay, we take a third of a loaf.
No, I mean, what do you see as the path forward as a person who's been in this working group and,
yeah.
Like, what do you recommend?
I just said, I, if we cannot get agreement to have, let them have language doing what they want, I would rather suggest, again, that we reconsider the OTF or some mechanism like it. They promised to come up with an alternative to the OTF that would do effectively the same thing, and then they didn't. Because once they'd gotten everybody to put it on hold, waiting on the promise, then they said, okay, now we can let it go. And people just kind of went, eh, you know, whatever. Nobody was invested enough, I don't think. So I'd rather reconsider the issue. It's another one of these things like jazz, where a few people spend time trying to push developing country stuff, and the rest of the community is like, yeah, whatever, that's fine. Except if it involves money or having to coordinate or talk to people that don't share views with. Or, so.
You know, that tomorrow's council decision... Take that forward as NCSG's take on it. I mean, it just seems like this is where we've been all along. This is no divergent, nothing to diverge from our past position.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I've been saying.
Well, what this call is for, so we can share information and work through the issues and figure out a path forward.
No, all I'm saying, Robin, is that if the staff has gone ahead, then it's basically they're proceeding on the basis of what CSG had suggested in the motion that we did not pass. And so that I find interesting, but okay, fine. given that that's happening, at this point, nobody has any real incentive probably to revisit the issue. I could argue that I still think we should look at the OTF motion or have another version of it. And at this point, everybody's going to go, why bother? We've got this other thing happening. So it's just one of those things where victory goes to them who are able to finagle. Isn't that the word of the day? Finagle?
Okay. No, I think.
Sorry, I've just been resistant about it. That's all.
I think continue to do that, to make these points, and if they don't like it, that's too bad. Somebody's got to say it. Okay. So, anything else on this issue? Can we go forward?
Please.
All right. So the next issue is the fake renewal notices. This is on the agenda for tomorrow's council meeting. The GNSO Council requested that a small group prepare a request for information concerning fake renewal notices for the registrar stakeholder group to help inform its deliberations on the RAP working group recommendation on fake renewal notices, number 2. The drafting team submitted its report to the council on March 6th following a presentation of the report. At the ICANN meeting in Costa Rica, the council decided to put the report out for public comment. Public comment was opened and has closed, and so now the council is expected to consider the next steps on renewal notices. Anybody on this call been following this issue and looking to report or to add on this? I have not been looking at it.
I haven't either. I'm sorry.
Okay. Go back and take a look at the report in the public comments. Okay. Well, we should maybe get some more information tomorrow from the council when this Marika gives the overview on the council or the comments, and council can start to discuss the next steps.
Can you just remind me, Robin, which item this is? I'm just checking the...
Fake renewal notices on the council agenda. It's item 10.
And, I haven't clocked this one at all.
Okay.
This is Amber,
Robin.
Well,
we should get some info on it tomorrow. I think we'll get updated from Marika during the council meeting.
Hi, Robin. This is Amber. May I speak?
Please. Hi.
Thank you. These fake renewals, I actually just received one on behalf of my organization a few weeks ago, and it was spectacular. I was confused. And so I called the organization, and they were very pushy for a credit card number. I mean, it's a really great scam. So it's getting out there. And so far, like I said, I've received one, and it was interesting. They were very fast talkers. So I think for me to have to call twice, who is involved with DNS issues, what they said on the phone was it's very misleading, and they were asking for like $500 to renew like an $11 domain name.
No.
And it was going to expire today if I didn't, give them my credit card information, which I can only imagine what they would have done with my credit card had I given it to them. So I do believe that this issue is becoming more and more prevalent and will definitely have an impact on the non-commercial community who aren't well-versed in the DNS issues and aren't, if they're working for a nonprofit organization, if they're receiving the notice because it's, their program, if they're not the ones who actually register the domain name, calling that number, they could easily pay not realizing what they were doing.
This is Audrey, if I can add to what Amber said.
Please.
I've been getting those letters for years, and as entrenched as I am, the first time I got one, I had a pause. Oh, my God. And then later, I just started ignoring them. But it's very true. If you're not entrenched in these systems, those letters are motivating.
Yeah.
And, if you do what I never did what Amber did and actually call them. But if you do that, so it really is, it is a real problem for real people that I totally agree. Something's got to be done. I don't know what, but something.
Right. Well, we'll have to take a look, a closer look at the report and the public comments and start to wrap our minds around this issue as it's coming more and more to council. Okay, did anyone else have anything they wanted to add on this issue? Not. Let's see. The last issue for the council agenda is the council is approving the sending of the letter to the GAC on the Consumer Metrics Working Group. Okay. Where is that?
Wendy's been following that a bit and seems to think it's a kind of a lost cause.
Okay. So it's item 7 on the council agenda for tomorrow. The Consumer Metrics Working Group has prepared a draft advice document for discussion in Prague in order to finalize the document before sending it to council. As part of that process, the working group would like to solicit the GAC's input. And then there's a letter that has been drafted for the council chair to send to the GAC chair, and so now the council will decide on whether to send that letter. Okay. Letter. Well, it looks like it invites the GAC to discuss the issue at the proposed joint meeting in Prague. Alternatively, members of the working group can brief the GAC on their progress. I mean, I don't know. There doesn't look like anything really in this letter that looks like we need to spend a lot of time on, frankly. Did anyone else find something about this issue to raise? Okay. Doesn't sound like it. All right. Let's hear what happens with this council meeting tomorrow. But I don't think it's that important of an issue. The metrics working group approval of the letter. Okay.
No, it is an important issue. It's just unfortunate that the thing is going very, very slowly and not in a terribly good direction. I mean, the effort to try to operationalize these terms in order to begin to even think about how ICANN is or isn't meeting its AOC requirements in this regard is just seems like the whole notions of consumer interests and so on are so outside the realm of comprehension that people are devising kind of funny metrics and things that don't work well. This is the thing that Rosemary was supposed to be pushing. And I think it's sad that it's kind of ground to the state that it's in. I won't say halt, but it's not promising.
Well, it looks like Rosemary's scheduled to be on the call tomorrow to provide the update to the council. So, okay, let me move along because we're running close to the end of the time and we haven't discussed Prague issues yet. And very briefly, if there are issues related to the new DCLD program that are not necessarily on the council's agenda for tomorrow, but I know there was some concern during the last call about a URS that had been called for by staff, and what does that mean? Is this an opportunity to rework the STI implementations in a way that perhaps conflicts with the community consensus on these issues? We just don't know. And there's been some concern that that's what this is. And I've heard from Kurt that this is just about trying to find more cost-effective means. But I think we don't know what we can expect from this any other issues that may come up on the new GTLD program. There was the TAS delay issue. So let me just broadly open this up to next few minutes up for discussion on new GTLD program and some of these issues related to that, if anyone wanted to go through any of that. If there's any new information about this URS summit. Maybe that's something we can get some information from staff on during tomorrow's council call, is to ask staff to provide some kind of an update on what they had in mind on that, particularly since there's been a bit of comment from the community since that was announced. If perhaps they've narrowed or clarified what they had in mind, that would be really helpful.
I object to the notion of a summit, but that's a different point.
Well, I think it's worth. It all depends on what this summit is. I mean, we can't object to people having a discussion unless there's some outcome of that discussion that's inappropriate. So, you know, what are they trying to do here? To undo things that have already been decided? That would be inappropriate. If it's just hammering out implementation details that are in line with what the community.
My understanding was that there were revisions contemplated. That was the whole discussion that was had earlier.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying we need to get some clarification from staff
right. To
what they have in mind rather than, you know, just letting our worries run the gamut. Okay, so let's talk about preparations for Prague for the next few minutes. We've got a few discussions that are important, and we need to suggest some discussion topics. First is our NCSC discussion with the Board of Directors. We need a couple discussion topics to propose to the Board on that. Our discussion with At Large, we need a couple discussion topics to propose on that. Also, the public forum, staff has asked for some feedback from the community about what issues we'd like to see on the agenda for the public forum, so we should make some proposals for that. And also, Steve Crocker, the chairman of the board, has asked for feedback on what community members would like to see him address in his speech. So these are the big issues that we need to talk about in terms of topics to propose for discussion in Prague. And the NCSG discussion. And one of the topics that has been proposed already, and I think we should discuss here, is developing a human rights impact assessment for policy development processes. You know, we've kind of talked about this a little bit here and a little bit there, but I don't think we've really directly engaged the board specifically on this and really asked the board to try to start wrapping its mind around some of the human rights implications of the policy recommendations that come from ICANN. I know in years past I've kind of been surprised oftentimes when I talk with board members and start raising human rights issues, and they kind of scratch their heads and be like, say things like, well, you know, why there are no human rights issues at ICANN. Why would we consider human rights issues? And then at which point I have to scratch my head and say, you know, come on, you're on the board. How can you say there are no human rights issues here? How can you? But my point is we need to begin that discussion and to engage them and to help them to begin to wrap their minds around, yes, there actually are human rights implications to these rules and policies that are coming from ICANN, and we need to start thinking about what ICANN can do to protect human rights. And and that kind of dovetails into the second topic that I wanted to propose for this discussion is, and we've had some discussion on the list about this also, which is what does the global public interest mean in an ICANN context? We see a lot of press releases that ICANN puts out about how it's a public interest organization, and everything is the work it does is all dedicated to the global public interest, and it's beautiful rhetoric and propaganda, but then, you know, sometimes we feel like it's just an industry organization that more appropriately fosters industry concerns and takes care of industry issues, and the public interest is just something to which lip service is paid, but not real policy decisions. Public interest concerns don't get hammered into the policy decisions. So I think this could be something else we could maybe try to prick the board's brain on a little bit, in terms of, you know, when we start talking about ICANN operating in the public interest, what does that really mean? Let's kind of roll up our sleeves and talk about what that means specifically. I don't know. I like both of these topics, and I wanted to hear what others thought, and if there was other suggestions for some of these issues. So let me just open it up with that.
Okay, Joy.
Hi.
Just a couple of sort of thoughts. One is, I think while laudable, I'm not sure sort of opening a general conversation about what is the global public interest mean in ICANN. I don't know how sort of productive or useful a, you know, conversation we can have with the board in our time with them in the context of an ICANN meeting. So I don't say that not to raise it, but rather to say, okay, well, if we were to raise it, what might be an outcome we might want from that, or a concrete suggestion we might want to propose around it, and that might help then structure what we could do with that item for discussion. In terms of the human rights implications, I think there have been some significant developments around that in other forums this year that ICANN could be aware of, and that may be the way to raise it with the board. For example, the High Commissioner for Human Rights has recently made a very strong public statement that any internet-related public policy should take into account human rights implications. And it may be worthwhile just sort of highlighting that to the board and saying that, you know, some critical questions arise out of that in terms of what is the role of ICANN public policy processes that have human rights implications. Some of that is already bubbling up out of the new GTLD round with, for example, the references to limited public interest objections, which include on grounds related to human rights treaties. But I think that, you know, perhaps a constructive way to raise it with the board is to say two things. One is to say, you know, there are these developments are happening. It's timely for the board to engage on these issues. You know, as non-commercial users, we see we've got something to offer ICANN to assist it. Firstly, and secondly, there has been a specific proposal at the Internet Governance Forum for a workshop on human rights issues in ICANN that Carlos Afonso Jr. has proposed, and I think he was intending to invite a board member to participate in that, and it might be an opportune time to ask the board, you know, if they want to learn more about this topic, to propose somebody to participate in it. So that would kind of be my suggestion of a way to engage the board on it. One other final thing, I guess, is to say that, you know, as a constituency group, we're looking to start to sort of practically apply this approach to some selected issues coming up over the year. You know, just to flag, I guess, that, you know, for example, the RAA agreement modifications will be one of those.
Right.
That's my thoughts anyway.
Right. Yeah, no, I really appreciate that, and I especially like the way you're framing the human rights impact assessment. So, you know, I think that there's a lot that we could say to the board on that,
could you post that Carlos Afonso's proposal, because that sounds like a really good thing, and if we could agree to support that on some level and extend it somehow. I just think that's an interesting way to frame it.
Sure. Carlos Afonso's proposal? I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand what proposal.
You mean, Robin, this is the proposal for a workshop at the IGF.
Oh, that one, yes, that proposal, yes, okay.
I can find it, Dee Dee, and
mail it.
But, you know, larger than that, what about proposing to do, say, in Toronto, to do a whole day of discussion about human rights and the Internet?
Well, you know, I think that is something that NC at UC is talking about for the Toronto meeting. So I don't think any decisions have been made, but I think.
Well, can we? I don't know. Agree to support that and try to work on that. It seems like that would be a really good thing.
Absolutely.
Well, it might be another practical suggestion from the meeting with the board is to sort of flag that. We're proposing the civil society meeting that the agenda in Toronto isn't clear yet, but one aspect of it is likely to be this topic and invite them to participate.
Definitely. I definitely think we want to invite the board to participate at that, and that would be an important piece of the discussion is having their input. So
yeah.
I like that idea. Okay, so were there other... discussion.
But just on that, could we also demand from ICANN that to have three people funded to go to meetings or whatever, that they set a substantial budget to bring people a substantial number of people from various developing countries to be able to participate in that meeting. It just seems like...
NCUC did put in a budget request, and, boy, my answer is always the same. And this is something that's up for public comment right now, and so if you want to send a comment on this exact issue to support that NCUC proposal that would include...
Okay.
From developing countries to this Toronto meeting, that would be fabulous. And, you know, there's something that you all of us can do to right now is to send a public comment on this issue. And I think the public comment period closes this weekend, so there's or at least for the initial comment, so there's not a lot of time.
Can I recommend something on that one?
Please.
One thing to think about, and it's a piggyback on an idea. They bring fellows in from around the world. So they were already funding a program, you know, not judging it at all, but it seems to be quite good in terms of fellows from around the world, especially the region the meeting is in, but from elsewhere to come to the ICANN meeting. If we are indeed doing that training, I mean, not that training, that session, the day before the meeting in Toronto, then perhaps just asking them to increment the follows training so that they can attend that might be a way to get it done without a gigantic extra outlay of money, you know. So it's an alternative approach to it.
That's a great idea. Great idea.
Like that.
Yeah. Thanks, Aubrey.
Okay. So if there's nothing further on that, let me move on the agenda because we're over time now. We need to propose some discussion topics for our meeting with the at-large, and we have some discussion on the mailing list about this already, and the issue, if I can sort of try to capture it in two words, globalizing ICANN has come up as something that is an area that we share some views with the at-large, and perhaps we could come to some concrete action items for working together on. So keep keeping that in mind, globalizing ICANN would be one possible discussion topic, and then another would be the RAA negotiations, another issue that where we have some common ground with the at-large, and so there may be some opportunity to try to do some work together to further our shared objectives. So those are just two, and perhaps I haven't characterized properly this globalizing ICANN description. So if there's somebody who would like to recharacterize that or provide other other topics, other discussion topics, please speak up.
Sorry, brain dead.
I'm sorry, please go ahead.
I can't think of anything. I've gone completely blank.
Okay. Well, I think those are two pretty good discussion topics, so, you know, we can stick with those for our at-large meeting as our proposals.
I'm totally sorry. I missed that conversation. Could you just summarize what was it? I've sent a bunch of emails. Nobody replied. What are we doing for the at-large meeting?
Okay, so these were the two discussion topics. One would be globalizing ICANN, and this is trying to...
I know. I wrote the email. Okay. And what's the other one?
Right. The RAA negotiations. So these are two issues where we may have some common ground with at-large, and we can come...
We totally don't have common ground with them in RAA.
Where the heck are they on RAA?
They're totally in law enforcement. Are you kidding?
Really?
We've gone through this multiple times.
I thought they're... Here a little bit, there a little bit, here a little bit, there's some... All right, so it sounds like maybe that's not a good issue for us. Where else do we have some common ground?
The long email that I sent today tried to outline the two areas, and asked you if there was anything else.
So what was the other issue besides globalizing ICANN?
Who's got the dog?
I'm sorry, I've got someone knocking at my door, and my dog is barking. Can you just explain what the issue is?
You're lucky to have a dog. We were talking about the problem of market concentration in the UTLD program and the rollout and whether or not there was going to be much besides OECD-based applicants when the reveal happens. If not, what does that say about the outreach process to developing countries and the efforts that we have made repeatedly to have a serious conversation with the board and others about that? And there's also, I'm sorry, I missed the conversation, but I was doing something else. There's also the Evans document. Did anybody have any response to that?
No, I mean, I was frankly wanting to hear from the issues that the NCSG wanted to work on. So I didn't have a chance to go look at Evan's document yet.
Okay, well, they're asking that the GAC and ALEC should have an increased role and not just be advisory.
Yep. I can comment on that one a little. Since I'm part of the working group that it came out of, yeah, they're suggesting essentially a complete revamping of the relationship between advisory committees and supporting organizations. So I think it's probably a good idea for some of the people from that group to explain that to you all. It's been an entertaining group.
What would the enhanced role of the advisory committees
The basic focus is that it is inappropriate from their perspective that registrars and registries have so much say over the regulatory framework that they're within, and that governments and at large have no say on it. So they want to basically look at various proposals to shift that balance.
Government has no say?
Hey, you know, I'm just reporting now.
Then what I find interesting is that they increasingly put themselves in the same box with governments
on a lot of things. That's part of the thing I advocate for them. In other words, that's the way they should see themselves. And that's certainly something I'm strongly in favor of. That shouldn't surprise you from the way I behave everywhere else. As far as I'm concerned, civil society and the various groupings of civil society are equivalent to government. And
but they're not civil society.
Wrong.
Some of them are.
Yeah, well.
Okay,
so do we have any more thoughts on the discussion topics for NCSGN at large?
Can I ask that people look at read my email? Then we can decide on the list.
Okay.
Otherwise, there's not much point in writing these things.
Okay. That's fine. The last issue, or no, not the last, public forum. Issues to recommend discussed in the public forum. I think Mary suggested IDNs, and then another suggestion is building privacy concerns into RAA negotiations or somehow raising the issue of privacy issues in the RAA. So these were two issues that have been proposed to discuss as session topics for the public forum.
No, I'm sorry. Mary's IDN point was about the ELEC meeting.
Okay. So we wouldn't want to propose IDNs for the public forum because my understanding was, you know, that was kind of a broader discussion that we might want to raise with the whole community and not just ALAC, but...
Well, what do we want to ask? I'm not opposed. I'm just asking. I'm just because you mentioned Mary. I'm just saying I'm looking at the email from her.
Mm-hmm. But you don't think we want to discuss this so that we don't want to raise this issue in the public forum, have public forum discuss IDNs more generally?
Do I think it's the most pressing issue if we get to put a couple of things on the agenda? It's part of a larger issue, I'd say.
So what would you propose?
No, you know, if you want to do it, go for it.
No, it's not what I want to do. I'm trying to understand what the sense from the community is and how to frame the topics.
I think it's aren't we 15 minutes over?
Yes, yep. We are. So, you know, let's...
Why don't we just figure these things out on the list? I mean, the community, you got five people here. I don't know. If you want to do IDN, sure.
All right, that's fine. That's totally fine. Rather than, you know, having discussions on all this stuff, we'll just take it to the list. Okay, so is there any other business? Okay, not hearing any other business, I will now close the meeting, and we can take all discussion to the list.
Great.
Thank you. Bye.